Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI, we'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Christy, listening in Portland, Maine, on the web. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The reason I'm calling is I'm struggling with Hebrews 6:6, and I think it reverts back to Numbers somewhere, maybe Numbers 13. When I was younger, I'd gone to Catholic school, and I was in a youth group when I was 16, but I was a bit of a wild child. I had some troubled parents and a troubled youth, and through my 20s, I continued that all the way up to leaving my first husband and committing adultery and just doing horrible, horrible, horrible things. And now that I see this verse, I've been really freaked out, I guess you could say, on whether or not this means I've lost my salvation. Or they're talking about people who don't believe in Jesus at all anymore after being saved.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of arguments that could be made about that passage. I mean, there are Jews. This is written to Hebrews, presumably by the Apostle Paul, who tasted God's goodness. In other words, they knew about God. They agreed that Jesus Christ was Lord. But they went back to their old traditions, not holy traditions, but human traditions. And I think what ultimately we have to say in your case is that it's not enough to know about Jesus Christ. It's not enough to agree that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. We need to depend on Jesus Christ, and that is an active participation in the kingdom of God. If you are a friend of God, if you are a follower of Christ, Christ isn't looking to throw some technicalities into the process to mix you up or mess you up. He is doing all he can so that you can have a walk with him that not only gets you into eternity, but more important, allows you to experience life in the present that is life to the full. So I think the real issue is an attitude of the heart. If your attitude is to return to the vomit, as it were, of the world, then you don't have a truly repentant heart. However, if your attitude is, Lord, my will, my way, subjected to you, I want to take up my cross and daily follow you, God is going to meet you, and he's going to carry you, and he's going to use you for his glory, but never in isolation. When you pick up your cross, you do it within the community, the fellowship of the saints, because it is within the community of faith that you partake in the graces that allow you to live not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, which is a critical distinction. We can try to live life by our own energy, or we can live by all his energy, which so powerfully works in us. And again, those graces, those energies, as it were, are dispensed through the church by way of communion or the Eucharist, by way of disciplines in the spiritual gymnasium, by way of following Christ and becoming an active participant in the kingdom. But this is not any kind of road that you can go alone. So let's forget about the past. Let's move on into the future. The real issue is, do you want to follow Christ? Do you want to take up your cross? And do you want Christ to be preeminent in your life? If that's what you want, you're going to find total fulfillment no matter what state you find yourself in.
Well, that's a relief, to say the least. I really appreciate your time, Hank. We actually just found a church to join. I've been watching church on TV for years, so I'm hopeful that, you know, we can start this going forward and stay on the right path.
Well, again, you can't take this road alone, so it's not you and your TV, you and your Bible, you and your confession. You have to become a vital reproducing member of a healthy, well-balanced church. So I'm delighted that that is your desire.
Absolutely. Chasing God with both feet. So I'm relieved to hear that this is your take on that scripture.
Well, Christy, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Hank.
God bless you. Let me take a Facebook question. Fred, interesting question. Hank, please offer some insights into how you do research and study in order to discover the truths that you teach. Well, that is a big question, and I suppose that I've often used three words to describe what I do at the Christian Research Institute. There's top, pop, and slop. In order to be able to do what we do, not just individually, but as an institute, it's important for us to engage top apologetics. In other words, grapple with the deep issues on a deep level. But to remain there would be a disservice for our constituency. So what I attempt to do is take the complex and make it simple and transferable. If you don't do top apologetics, you end up doing slop apologetics, which means all you're doing is regurgitating things that people have said, which may or may not be true. But if you do top apologetics, then you can take apologetics and popularize that for your constituency, and that is what we've been doing at the Christian Research Institute for many, many years. Taking the complex, making it simple and transferable so that you might not only hear, but remember and then use what you have learned for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. We have two tracks that we run on. It's not just an intellectual track. It's not only the truth track. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So He's the way and the truth. He's the way and the life. There is a track that we run on that's very important. Truth matters. If you're guided by the Book of Mormon, you're going to fall into the abyss. If you're guided by the Quran, you're going to miss the mark. So you have to have a reliable authority, a reliable map, if you will. But the map is not the territory. The menu's not the meal. The cradle shouldn't be mistaken for its occupant. So there's, along with the truth line, as it were, there's a lifeline. And that involves the importance of experiencing deification. What Peter spoke of when he said, we are to be partakers of the divine nature. The Eucharist, or communion, or the Lord's table, a lot of different monikers by which you can describe this, is the principal means by which we experience the graces by which we can experience deification. Now, we'll never become what God is in the Godhead. It's an abomination to think that we would. But we are brought into fellowship with the Trinity. We are brought into union with God. We are brought into a state where we can live the Christian life not just by our own energies, but by all His energies which so powerfully work in us. So I look at primary resources when I do my research. I look at extra-biblical Christian sources, the writings of the Church Fathers. I look at ancient non-Christian sources. You know, a lot to be learned by people such as Josephus and Tacitus and Suetonius and Plinius, and the list goes on. I'm very aware of historical and current scholarship. All of that is what we do at the Christian Research Institute, so that the answers that you get are reliable and trustworthy. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A quick plug for the journal. If you have not subscribed, a great edition of the Christian Research Journal, chock full of information, beautifully presented. If you haven't subscribed, take an opportunity to do that at equip.org. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, the letter C. We'll be right back in just a few moments. Stay tuned for that.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical, but we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I was handed, as I walked into the studio, commendations on the ministry. And I was reading through some of them as I was preparing for the broadcast and thinking, some of these are just too delicious not to read on air. Here's an example. This one from Laura. She says, in 1988, I was led to Christ through the Bible Answer Man broadcast while milking goats in my barn, of all places. Thanks, Hank. You have been a rock in a crazy world for me. Well, there are many, many more, but we'll go right back to the phone calls. Next up is Jay in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Jay.
Hello. Hello, Ms. Hanegraaff. I appreciate your time, sir. God bless you.
God bless you.
My question is, maybe it's a little uncomfortable, but I know that you always go to the Word and, you know, find the answer for me. I've been married over 25 years, and my wife and I, we've always enjoyed a healthy sex life, but the last few years she hasn't, you know, been wanting to, you know, have relations with me, and it's just been really hard, and I know that it's not right to masturbate, you know, but I just don't know what else to do, sir. I feel uncomfortable also with it. I'm really trying to let the Holy Spirit regenerate me, and I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, and I want to live for Jesus. So what's your opinion on that, sir, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's presumptive for me to try to diagnose the whole situation as an electronic soundbite, but let me give you a couple of principles. The first principle, from my perspective, would simply be that for you to have a satisfying relationship with your wife on a mental, on a spiritual, on a physical plane takes the investment of quality time. I mean, I think we oftentimes treat, and I was talking about this in an interview I did earlier this afternoon, we often treat God no better than we do our most cherished relationships. What I mean by that is we want intimacy without the investment of quality time. And I think just as we often rush into God's presence before our knees have hit the ground, we're already thinking about getting back into a frenzied lifestyle. I think in the same way, we do the same thing with our treasured relationships. We don't nurture them. When you don't nurture them, well, then you end up being in a situation where solo sex becomes the only way to relieve that particular God-given gift. But that's not the way to do it. Solo sex does not fit God's design because it is divorced from the beauty of marital sex being relational and a way to serve another selflessly. It is radically focused on self, to wit, solo sexuality. It's radically focused on self. It misses the signpost reality in every way for what we would term holy sex. And remember, when two people come together, it's not open, it's closed. It is a holy communion between two people. So there are some basic principles. The Bible doesn't speak directly to this, but it does speak to it in principle. The basic principles: don't lust, don't fantasize after someone you're not married to. Certainly, masturbation in conjunction with pornography is sinful. But what we can say the Bible's explicit about is that we were created male and female with sexual intercourse to be restricted within marriage. And I think an argument could be made that we were made for sexual union, male and female, not for, as I mentioned earlier on, solo sexual activity. So I think it's important to go back to the root cause and nurture that relationship. Get counseling if you need counseling. Do what you do within the community of faith so that you're not walking this path alone. And get some good resources. One of my favorites is by Joe Dallas. He called it the Game Plan, the men's 30-day strategy for attaining sexual integrity. I think this is one of the most helpful books I've ever promoted over the years. particularly in an age in which there's rampant pornography, there's a lot of solo sexuality. And this brings you back to a baseline where you can start nurturing the relationship and start using your vessel in a way that's pleasing to the Lord as opposed to displeasing to the Lord.
Yes, wow, that's good. That is really good, sir. I can see how we could do that. That opened my eyes.
Well, Jay, thank you for calling, and thanks for being this
great. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it, Zandagraph. God bless you.
God bless you. And let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Daniel, listening in Illinois. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm fine. Hank, I want to give you a shout-out. First and foremost, I applaud you. I pray for you. I thank you for your ministry, for everything that you've done. And God bless you, Hank. That's my comment. My question is about transubstantiation in the Catholic Church. You know, I'm a non-denominational Christian. I don't readily espouse to it myself, but I wanted to hear your comments. I'm going to hang up, and God bless you, Hank.
Yeah, well, transubstantiation is a way of the Western Church explaining what's going on with respect to the real presence of Christ. In the Eastern Church, that explanation is unnecessary. The reason it's unnecessary is in the Eastern Church, no explanation would ever satisfy because this is a great mystery. The Latins called it the mysterium tremendum et fascinans, the mystery that causes us to tremble and yet attracts us. So it is a great mystery. I have no ability whatsoever to explain to you how Christ is really present in the wine and the bread. I just know what the Lord Jesus Christ so clearly has taught me in Scripture, and that is life flows from the one true vine to its outstretched branches. And as such, the branches are empowered to bear fruit. A branch can never bear fruit if it is separated from the vine. A branch cannot bear fruit if it is cut off from other branches. And so I take seriously the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on me, he who feeds on the living bread, will live forever. So there's an unambiguous point here from my perspective. And that is, in order to remain alive spiritually, you have to continuously feed on the body and blood of Christ. And although the Gospel of John doesn't record the institution of Holy Communion, as the other Gospels most certainly do, the report by John of our Lord's words offer, in my view, the clearest, the most profound biblical understanding of the living power inherent in the real presence of Christ. So when we partake of what we call not a sacrament, but a mystical supper instituted by the Lord, we live in him, he lives in us, and when we do not, we lack life. And the words of our Lord are emphatic in this regard. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. On a personal level, and I've been talking about this a lot because I've staked my whole ministry on this, my life on this. On a personal level, apart from the body and blood of Christ, I don't know where I'd be. I guess I do know where I'd be. I would be relegated to bios. But I've experienced uncreated energy flowing through my body. It has allowed me to be a partaker of the divine nature. It has been revolutionary in my life as I prepare week by week to encounter the real presence of Christ. Can't explain it? No words will do. It's a great mystery. Well, we're out of time for this week's editions of broadcasts. I want to thank all of those that stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. I could not do what I do without you. Thank you so much. And if you haven't joined us, join with us. You're making a difference all over the world. Be back here, Lord willing, next week with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth. Because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.